The reading this morning is in Matthew chapter 6, and I'm starting to read at verse 25. If you have a Bible in the seat back in front of you, it's page 971. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown on the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin with a moment of prayer together. Seek first the kingdom of God. Father, help us this morning to understand what it truly is to seek you in a world where there are so many other things we can seek. Align our hearts with your heart this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A few years ago, we held a monster-themed birthday party for our youngest son. I think he was 4 at the time, and planned various kind of monster-themed games and activities for the children to play with. And our eldest, Jacob, came up with a brilliant idea that he should dress up as a monster and go and hide somewhere in the house. And the first activity could be the children looking for this monster. So 10 minutes before the party was due to arrive, and Jacob duly went and hid under the bed, because we know that's where all good monsters hide, and waited patiently for the children to arrive. The children arrived in dribs and drabs, although invariably bang on time, I've noticed, at children's birthday parties. But there were a couple who were late, and so we started embarking on some of the other activities that we'd got planned downstairs, not wanting anyone to miss out on the hunting for the monster game. Time passed by and the kids were so engrossed in these activities, we carried on playing these games. Till half an hour later, a very red-faced Jacob appeared at the door and said, "You never came to find me." Parenting fail number 523. I should say he is available at a very reasonable rate for children's birthday parties. Today's passage is all about looking and seeking for something. And there is a sense of urgency in what Jesus is saying in this passage. He asks us to consider, what are we seeking after in life? And our passage begins with those words, "Therefore, I tell you," because they follow on from Jesus's challenging teaching in the previous passage, if you look forward, about choosing between God and the love of money and saying you can't chase after both these things because they will tear you in different directions. And Jesus continues on his challenging teaching about what it is to follow and to seek the kingdom. We know, don't we, that this passage is part of this challenging yet beautiful piece of prose that Jesus spoke, the Sermon on the Mount. I think one of the most beautiful bits of writing literature in the whole of the world. And Jesus is telling his disciples here that the kingdom of God is about what you desire. It is about what captivates your heart, what takes your time, your energy. And the first thing I want us to note as we just generally look at this is that this command, this teaching, is given to the disciples as they're gathered together. This isn't presented as a kind of individualized plan for personal fulfillment. It's given to a community of people who have sought to follow Jesus. And as I've been preparing and reflecting on this over the last week or so, I've been drawn to think, what would it mean as a whole community if we were to hear these words to us, not just as individuals, but as the community here in Peckham? How might this impact and change the way we act and the impact we have in this place that God has called us to? And the climax of the verse that I'm mainly going to be looking at comes in verse 33. Those well-known words, seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. I'm sure that all of us here have heard those words before. And which one of us doesn't want to seek the kingdom of God? I don't suppose many of us would look at that passage and go, well, no, I don't want to seek the kingdom of God and have all these things given to me. Tell me something I don't know. It's obvious. I did think about just reading those verses and saying, well, I'm just going to sit down because it's obvious, isn't it? But you're not going to escape that easily, I'm afraid. The reality is actually far more complicated than that so often. It doesn't present itself to us as a simple choice in many ways. So what we're going to look at this morning is three simple questions. What does it mean to seek the kingdom? Why should we seek the kingdom? And how might we do it? What, why, and how? So first of all, what does it mean to seek the kingdom? We may see that verse written on a poster, probably with some kittens in a basket or something, you know, one of those lovely kind of Christian posters, seek the kingdom. But what does it really mean? Well, the word kingdom in Greek is basileia, the rule of God. The kingdom is not about a particular place, a geographical location, but it is the realm where Jesus is in charge, where Jesus has his way. So the kingdom is first and foremost about who's in charge. It is about Jesus being the king. Mark's gospel opens with the first words on Jesus' lips being, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is near. There is a link consistently in the New Testament between the good news and the kingdom. The kingdom is the place where the reality of the good news of Jesus Christ is lived out, where we live in the reality of forgiveness, acceptance, hope, and new life. So to follow Jesus is to enter into the kingdom. It is to live in that reality, that realm where Jesus is in charge. So today, if you are a Christian, if you are following Jesus, you are living in the reality of the kingdom of God. And seeking the kingdom then is about our desire and our focus as we live in that reality. verse 31, Jesus says, "So don't worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans, those who don't have faith, run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them, but you seek the kingdom." Now, what this passage is not saying, I don't think, is that your physical needs are unimportant. That, to me, doesn't ring true with the Jesus we read of in the pages of the Gospel, the Jesus who stops the crowd to minister to the woman who has been bleeding, who has real physical need. We see Jesus time and time again, noticing those who are unnoticed, reaching out a hand in physical healing as a demonstration of kingdom reality. This can't mean that our physical needs are unimportant to God. But what Jesus is saying is, don't chase after these things. Don't let these things be the things that make you tick. Don't let these things be the things that drive you, either the search to have them because you don't have them, or the search to acquire more of them because you do have them. And it's interesting, the three things Jesus chooses: food, drink, and clothes. In many ways, basic things to what it is to live as human beings. We need all three of those things. Yet each in their own way can become distractions. They can captivate our heart's desire. I've lost time, and Gavin probably knows this only too well, in the amount of times I've opened my wardrobe, which, let's face it, is crammed full of clothes, and said, "I have nothing to wear. I've got to buy a new outfit because I've nothing to wear." The things that we need can be the things that we pursue. Eating, a desire for healthy eating. We've all been on starting diets. It's the new year, isn't it? How many of us have started on some new health regime? I got challenged by one of my kids this week, who stomped around the house and said, "There are not enough snacks in this place." Healthy eating was not going down well. And the other accusation yesterday, when we were eating brunch at about 11 o'clock, was, "Does this mean we don't get lunch?" Very suspicious about being denied their full quota of food in my house. These can be good things that then start to rule us. Being consumed with how we look, our appearance, our reputation. Being consumed by wanting more. The latest clothes, the latest trends, the latest kitchen, whatever it may be. For some of us, maybe the things that captivate our desire is the reverse of that. It's being hidden. It's staying unnoticed. It's staying in our comfort zone. That's what drives us. And Jesus is saying in this passage, don't let either the fear of not having things or the desire to acquire more get in the way of you pursuing the kingdom. Seek the kingdom. And that word "seek" is an ongoing seeking. It's not something we do when we become a Christian as a one-off. It's a process of seeking and going on seeking the kingdom. And Jesus says these words. He says, "Seek the kingdom and all this will be given to you." In the one sense, it reads a bit like an exchange, doesn't it? The kind of advert of, invest your money in this bank and you'll get really good interest and a free mug. I'm terribly drawn by the free things that I realise are, you know, not crucial to the deal, but they attract you nonetheless. And is Jesus saying that? Is he saying, look, here's a, you know, you put in and you get this out? But I'm not sure that's what Jesus is meaning here. What he's saying is he's contrasting seeking the kingdom with the pagans, those who have no faith, who run after all the other desires in the world. And he's saying, seek me, and then all these other things in your life will not be irrelevant, but they will find their rightful place. We tend to compartmentalize our lives, don't we? Work time, family time, me time. If we've got any left, we might do a bit of church time. But it's all kingdom time. We think following the kingdom might mean, okay, putting God as the top of our list of priorities. As a working mum, I struggle sometimes with my priorities and all the different pulls on me, and I want to be a good mum to my children, but work can sometimes be really demanding, and I want to do things in church, and sometimes I'm like, what's the order, the list of priorities? And I know God's got to go first, and then is it family next, and then work? But sometimes, you know, things take over. And what about church? That sounds a little bit more kingdom-y than work, doesn't it? Maybe that should go above. And we try to rank our lives in a list of priorities, and I think we've got it wrong. And as I've looked at this passage, I've seen that what Jesus is saying is, seek me, and then all these other things find their meaning. Family time then isn't your second priority, but it is infused with the kingdom of God. The beautiful demonstration of that this morning with Jenny and Root bringing Effie to be dedicated. And God is saying, you know, this isn't a distraction from pursuing the kingdom in your ministry. This is all part of it. The way we bring up our families, the way we care for our parents in their old age is all part of what it is to live the kingdom. Our work is not a distraction from being able to do good things in the church. Our work, if we have work, is the place where we can live out the reality of the kingdom and serve him. I don't believe Jesus is asking us to make a list at all. But he is saying, seek me, and all these things will find their place in the kingdom. It is a call to radical surrender and trust of all that we have in our lives to Jesus. So why then should I seek the kingdom? Why should I seek Jesus as king in my life? Well, I think in this passage, Jesus gives us two reasons, and they are simply that we are loved and we are called. Jesus says to his disciples, look at the beautiful birds in the air, how carefree they are. You don't see them storing up things for the future. I provide for them. And he says, you are more valuable to me than those birds. You are loved. You are valued. It is a call to trust that we are seen by God, that we are loved by him. Living in the kingdom is living in the reality of the fact that he loves us. I've been reading Genesis the last few weeks, and the story of Hagar, who kind of gets caught up in this tragic story of Abraham and Sarah failing to kind of trust the promises of God. And Hagar kind of is this sort of side story who bears the kind of brunt of this. And she runs away into the desert, and there's just this wonderful encounter where God meets her in her place of pain, in her place of difficulty. And she says to God, you are the God who sees me. That's how she names God, the one who sees me. And I think there are some of us today who just need to know that God sees you, that he sees what's going on in your life, that he sees the pain, the hidden sorrows, the challenges, the difficulties. And he says, I see you. You are valuable. And living in the kingdom means that we know we are loved by God. And living in the kingdom means that we know we are called by God. Jesus sets up in this passage two alternative ways of being: the pagans who run after these things and the disciples who seek the kingdom. And Jesus is saying, you are more important. You are too important to be chasing after things that ultimately will lead nowhere. He's saying, don't miss out on what I am calling you to in your life, because you are so busy chasing after whatever it may be, power, reputation, money, whatever. Seek the kingdom. Don't miss out on the opportunity to be part of the greatest movement in human history, to be part of seeking God's justice, his righteousness. Don't miss out because you're so busy chasing after other things. You're too important. You are called to something else. And I wonder whether, for some of us, we are being called to a radical reordering of our lives this morning. To stop putting God in a neatly contained box, to say, well, there are bits of me that you can have, but others, no. You can have my Sundays, but not my bank account. You can have my job, but not my relationships. You can have my quiet time in the morning, but not my fear of being alone in the future. What is the but not that for you? Jesus is calling us to radical surrender. The King of the kingdom, calling us as individuals, calling us as a whole community here today, to surrender to him, to seek his kingdom and his righteousness in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Jesus is calling us to seek the kingdom because this stuff really matters and really makes a difference in our world. So lastly, how do we seek the kingdom? It's quite simple, really. It's just about being with Jesus. Jesus is the King of the kingdom, and so we need to be with him, and we need to spend time with him. And that might look like different things for each of us. We're all different. Some of us find it easy to get up and pray in the morning. Others find it easier to pray with others. We're all different. But find the way, find the space and the time to be with Jesus. After a frantic Christmas with not a lot of space and time, I decided a couple of Thursdays ago, when it was the worship night, to just come here to All Saints. And I walked through the door and I just sensed the presence of God in the most tangible way. And I just sat on my chair and I cried and I experienced being with Jesus for 2 hours. It was wonderful. And I did some business with Jesus and I talked about some decisions I've got to make and some things that I'm worried about. And it was just simply being with Jesus. Whatever it may be, however it may be for us, find that time to be with Jesus. Because when we spend time with him, we then discover that the things that he longs for, we start to long for them too. That the heart of Jesus starts to become that bit more in our own hearts as well. That we start to desire his righteousness, his justice, his love. So seek the kingdom because you are loved, because you are important to him, because you are called to this worthy calling. And make time to be with Jesus. And I want to do that now. I want to allow us some time just to be with Jesus. And so if the band are going to come back up. And as they pray, I'd love to invite you to stand. You can stay seated if you'd rather. And just find this time to be with Jesus. Just to reconnect with him. He sees, he knows where you're at. You don't need to hide anything from him. And let's just invite the Holy Spirit to come and bring us to Jesus to be with him. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We welcome you now. Come and speak to us. Come and be present among us. That we might know what the but that is in our lives. That we would bring to mind that which is maybe stopping us from seeking the kingdom. Is the thing that holds us back. Help us to surrender to you now.